right, well, we're going to go ahead and jump into our message this morning. We're going back to our vine and fruit series. Last week, of course, was Resurrection Sunday, and so we had a special message that we shared, but now we're going to go right back to our vine and fruit series. We've been looking over the last several weeks, obviously not last week, over the fruit of the Spirit and what the Lord has for us, how the Lord wants to produce these things in our hearts and our lives. But we did also start not just with the first fruit of the Spirit, but we started with the vine, because we understand, as we've talked about the last several weeks, that is the Holy Spirit produces these things in us. The Holy Spirit is who does that. Our job is to remain in the vine, or as it says in John 15, depending on your translation, to abide in the vine. And when we do that, when we stay in Jesus, when we stay in the vine, that we will produce through the Holy Spirit much fruit in our lives. We have to make sure that we stay there, we stay in the vine, we allow the Holy Spirit to produce these things. Our job is not to produce them, our job is to remain in Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to produce those things in us. So we're going to pick that up again this week and look at our new fruit of the Spirit. But before we do that, let's go ahead and open up our Bibles. We'll be in Galatians 5 just for a moment. We'll look again at the fruit of the Spirit and then look at the one that we're going to be focusing in on this week. So Galatians 5:22. Looking at the first part of verse 23, it says this: "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And of course, the fruit of the week this week is the fruit of peace. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we do love you. We do thank you so much for this morning and this time. Father, we ask that you would just open our hearts to what you desire to do in them and through them in this service. And Father, we know that you have great things that you want to do. We ask that you would just open our hearts to that, that the Holy Spirit would just be here to reveal and to speak to us in areas that we need your help in. Because Father, you desire to produce these things, and you desire, as it says back in John 15, to do that in abundance, much fruit. And Father, I pray that that would be our prayer too. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what you think about when you hear the word peace. In some ways, in both the church and out of the church, it's somewhat an overused term. It's a term that we use sometimes and don't always understand exactly what it means and what the biblical understanding of it is. And sometimes it's kind of one of those things like love that we kind of throw around a lot. You know, we talk about maybe in our homes, you know, maybe our kids have been kind of excitable or running around a little bit more than usual. And you kind of look at our, we kind of look at our kids at times and we just kind of say something like this: "Will you just give me a few moments of peace? Can you just give me a few moments of peace? Can you just allow, you know, not the house to be shaking because you're running around like a crazy person?" And I always think back to when I grew up and the family I grew up in. I grew up in a family of four, and I'm sure that there were definitely times where, as I was a very rambunctious young man, as I was running around the house and things like that, especially in the winter, where I couldn't get outside as much as I would like to be outside, I'm sure there were times where my mother and father, along with my brother and my twin sisters, who were just about, you know, 3.5, 4 years apart, all of us, I'm sure there were times where they prayed desperately for some peace. They desperately needed a time where maybe things were a little more quiet. Things were not quite so hectic. Things were not quite so crazy in our world and in our lives. And somewhat, the biblical understanding of peace is somewhat in that vein, but it's also a lot more broad. It's something a little bit more deeper that we need to truly understand, to understand the gift, and it literally is a gift. We'll look at that in a little bit. The gift of peace that God has for us. Because as believers, as followers of Jesus, as we remain in the vine, these fruits that God wants to produce in you and me are gifts. They are things that we should want and desire. And unfortunately, and we'll kind of look at this in a little bit, when it comes to all of these gifts, we tend to kind of are okay with kind of a cheap substitute. We kind of go, you know, that's kind of enough. That's kind of, well, God, if you'll just do this, give me a little peace in this area or a little peace in that area. If you'll just kind of help in this situation or that situation, that'll be good and that'll be enough. And what's great about God is he doesn't look at us and say, listen, I want to just give you peace in situations. He wants to give us a complete peace over every situation, every circumstance, everything that we go through, everything that we deal with. And a lot of times we don't pray that way. A lot of times we pray as far as, God, will you give me peace in this relationship? Or will you give me peace in this thing? And there's nothing wrong with that. But we also have to understand that God wants to do something more holistic. He wants to do something more fully in our hearts and our lives. And to allow him to do that, we need to understand a little bit more about what this concept really is. That when the Holy Spirit talks about this peace that he wants to bring, what that looks like. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see this concept of peace spoken about a lot. In the Old Testament, it's this word that basically is shalom. And in the New Testament, it's this word in the Greek that's eirene. And basically, these words, they both mean roughly the same idea and the same thing. And they mean this, they're the idea of wholeness, peace of mind, and all-around well-being. It's a complete and total peace that God wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. And even so, back in biblical times and even today, you can kind of sometimes meet someone who maybe have a Jewish background or is Jewish, and they'll still use that word of shalom. They'll use that word of peace that they're speaking to you and wanting you to understand, and as they kind of greet each other as they go, as a kind of a goodbye as well. So this is something great. This is something big. This is something that God, all the way from the Old Testament, moving through the New Testament into today, that God wants us to experience and find. But unfortunately, we tend to look to try to find it in other things instead of finding it in him. Here's what I mean by that. Some of us will say, you know what? I am having some lack of peace, for example, in my finances. Financially, things are not going well. And so we think to get peace in those areas, I need to make more money. I need to save more money. Maybe I need to rearrange my portfolio or try to figure things out. Maybe I need a better job, or maybe I need to work more hours, thinking that we'll be able to get peace in our finances when we have basically more money. Or in relationships, we'll think, you know, if I could just do this or I could just do that. And listen, I'm not saying it's not a good idea to save more or a good idea to work on relationships. That's not what I'm saying. But when we do those types of things, unfortunately, we're trying to find peace in something a little bit different than what really the Holy Spirit wants to do in our hearts and our lives. And so we basically begin to look around us and go, okay, where is there not peace? Where is there issues? Okay, I don't have peace here, maybe I don't have peace here, and I don't have peace here. And we kind of look at the surrounding things to try to figure out ways to bring peace to a situation. We do it all the time. We do it in different ways, in different circumstances, in different situations, but we do it all the time. And what we need to understand is the peace that Jesus is speaking about, when he speaks about it, the peace that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives is something different. It's not something that surrounds us. It's something that's in us. I put this in your notes, and I want to expound on this a little bit more. But most of us tend to try to find peace in the things that surround us. Jesus wants to find us to find peace in him, which is in us. Go back to your notes, okay? Look in your notes for me. It's not going to be back on the screen. It doesn't need to be. But in Galatians 5, 22, 23, when it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, listen to what it says. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to see this. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. In our lives. You see, God wants to produce these things in you so then it can come out through you. A lot of times we look for love, we look for joy, we look for peace, we look for kindness, we look all these types of things on the things that surround us, when instead Jesus is saying, listen, this is going to be produced from within you. You understand the difference here? Most of us, we try to grab peace and take peace and get it in here, when scripturally, and what God wants to do through the Holy Spirit is he wants to produce it in here so it comes out of here. And when you begin to try to find peace or love or joy or any of these things in what surrounds you, and try to grab it and get it in, you're not going to be doing and experiencing the type of peace, love, and joy that only comes from what Jesus is wanting to do in you. How do we do that? We remain in the vine. We get closer to Him. We experience these things, so we allow the Holy Spirit to produce these things in us. Now listen, do we experience some measure of joy and peace and things and the things that surround us? Absolutely. Hopefully, if you are married, you experience some love from your spouse or from your kids or others. Hopefully, you feel some love from this church family. And those are things that surround us. We can enjoy those things. But listen, if this makes sense, that's the icing on the cake. That's God being so good that He says, listen, I'm going to do this in you through me, and really that's all you need. But I want to give you even more than that. I want it pressed down, shaken together, running over. Do you understand? Like when you think about your marriage relationship or your relationship with your kids, you need to understand that God never designed you to be the cake. Never did. In fact, here's the deal, and this is maybe a little strong, but you need to understand this. When you begin to put people in the place of the cake, you've made that person an idol in your life. God never intended that. But what's interesting is back in the garden, when everything was good with Adam and God, everything was good, God said something isn't good. And He said it was that man was alone. Even though he had God, God said, listen, I'll be everything you need, but I'm going to give you a little bit more. So we have to make sure that we keep these things in the right perspective. We keep them in the right place. And then all of a sudden, everything begins to flow the way that God intended. And all these types of things begin to flow from within us out to those that we're in contact with. But we have to remember, when it comes to peace, when it comes to joy, we've got to stay in the vine. Listen, I'm giving you this understanding that so we can kind of see it, and also as kind of a litmus test, so that we can kind of take a moment this morning and kind of really see where we are in peace. And here's the deal. This is true of every one of the fruits of the Spirit. But at the same time, it's something that we really need to understand and look at together. The peace you have is in direct proportion to your proximity to the vine. So what I mean by that is this. If you have a life right now that you are not experiencing the fullness of the peace of God, maybe the solution to that is get a little closer to Jesus. Get a little bit closer to Him. Because what I found is the closer I get, the more I entwine myself with the vine, the more the fruit of the Spirit seems to come from me. Because in those moments, the Holy Spirit produces this more and more and more. And here's the deal. Listen, I don't know if anybody in this auditorium or online or anybody in this world could look at their life and go, you know what, I got enough peace. I'm good. I think we could all use some more peace. I think we could all use some more wholeness when it comes to our mind, and we're going to look and see some deeperness of that in a minute, but I think we could all, as we look at our hearts and go, you know what, I got some peace here, but you know, I want some more. I want some more of those things in my heart, in our lives, and we need to understand that. But before we get into it, and we're going to get into it in just a little bit, some more practical application, okay? But before we really get into that, we need to break down peace a little bit more deeply, so that we understand a little bit more about what God has done. So again, a little bit of a longer subheading here, but before we can get into practical ways of identifying the fruit of peace in our lives, we need to understand what God has already instituted concerning peace, okay? Because here's the deal. A lot of times, for a lot of people, if we miss these two things, we're going to miss the depth of peace that God wants to produce in our heart and our lives, okay? So we need to find these things first and begin an understanding of them. Now listen, these are going to be, in some ways, some simple ideas, but also some simple ideas with some depth. And so this is understanding these is an ongoing process. It's an ongoing journey, and we need to understand that. So again, two things we need to understand before we get into kind of some practical application as far as having peace in our lives. So the first thing we need to understand is the peace that God made. the peace that God made. A big fancy word that we use for that is basically the word atonement, okay? Last week, we celebrated that atoning work that Jesus did. You see, the thing we need to understand, and sometimes it's hard for us to catch this and get this as maybe believers, but this understanding that when we walked away from God, when we rebelled from Him, when our sinful nature took hold in our hearts and lives, we were not at peace with God. There was a war that was raging in our lives and in our hearts, and we need to understand that. But God said, you know what? I am going to make peace with these people. Look with me in Ephesians 2. In Ephesians 2, 13 through 17, Paul, as he's writing to the church in Ephesus, really helps us see some of these things in a very interesting way. So here's what it says, Ephesians 2, 13 through 17. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. Look at that. He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. Look here. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. God has made a way. He is our peace. He is the one through His atoning work that we celebrated last week is the one who became peace for us. He's the one who broke down the barrier and the hostility and became that peace. Here's the deal. If we miss that important point, if we miss that understanding, we'll never really have the peace of God in our hearts and our lives. Because in that way, we'll always feel like there is a divide. There is always something keeping us from God. But God has said, listen, I am going to make that way. I am going to bring peace. I am the one that's going to do these things. And notice what's interesting here. It doesn't talk about us. It just talks about Jesus and what He has done. He made the way through His work on the cross. From those that were close and those that were far away. When you look at the context of what Paul is writing here in that, he's talking about this difference not only between basically those that don't know Jesus and those that do, but the Gentiles and the Jews. Two different groups of people that were still both far away from God, but that through Jesus He brought peace to those things. Peace to our relationship with each other, and more importantly, peace in our relationship with God. He made the peace. He brought the peace, and that peace literally is Jesus. And so to have this peace of God, we have to understand where the peace really, who the peace really is and where the peace really comes from. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes even for people that have accepted Jesus and been following Him for a long time, sometimes it's easy to fall into the trap of forgetting the peace that God has made. Sometimes when we mess up again or sin again and continue and struggle in certain areas of our lives, sometimes it's very easy to fall into that trap of forgetting the peace that God has made and allow that peace to come and really transform our hearts, which then, of course, leads into the next thing that God has already instituted, and that is that we need to understand the peace that God gives. Okay, so it's the peace that God made, which is the peace through the atoning work of Jesus. And now we need to understand the peace that God actually gives in our lives. Because here's the deal. Like, we can look at this idea of atonement. We can look at the sacrifice and all these things and go, boy, this is awesome. This is great. But if all that does is sit on our spiritual shelf and it never actually, we actually take it and use it in our hearts and our lives, we're kind of missing some stuff. We're kind of missing the depth of the things that God wants to do. So look here with me. In 1 John 1:9, In 1 John 9, this is what it says. It says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Do you understand that this idea of peace that God gives is based on the cleansing work that Jesus has done in you and through you? You see, we don't have to live in a situation, if this makes sense, of war between us and God because of what Jesus has done and because of the cleansing work that Jesus has done in us. It is something that he gives. As we confess our sins, as we acknowledge this gift of peace and we acknowledge this gift of atonement in our heart and our lives, then God comes in and he begins this cleansing work in us. And when that cleansing begins to come, peace can also reign in our hearts and our lives. Why? Because we simply know that what has been wrong, spiritually speaking, God has made right. Because of our willingness to accept the grace and the love and the forgiveness of God. You see, some of us, we want to live a life of peace, but because of our past or maybe because of our present, we have a really hard time acknowledging the cleansing work of Jesus. Like, we'll sit there and we'll pray, God forgive me, 45 times. We'll sit there and God forgive this, God forgive that. And listen, I'm not saying we shouldn't confess our sins. We should. But we have to remember the second part of this verse is that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of our sins. If we want to live in peace, we have to understand and accept the cleansing that God has for us. Let's continue on. Let's look again, Romans 5. In Romans 5, 1 through 2, Paul again is writing to the Roman church. He says, therefore, these verses, hopefully, if I did this right, are going to build on each other, okay? He says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Christ Jesus our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Listen, I love these words here. You know, I love the translation here of undeserved privilege. Isn't that a beautiful concept? This peace that Jesus has done, listen, it's undeserved. What God has done for you and for me, it's undeserved. And it's one thing to say it's undeserved, but it's undeserved privilege. I love that. Some of us need to get that and understand that because once again, we're not living in total peace because we have forgotten that God has given us that undeserved privilege in him, that he has made that peace with us. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But God has chosen to do this because he loves us and because that is his desire to do. And it's undeserved. But here's the other thing. Not only is it a cleansing, not only is it undeserved privilege that God wants us to do, this peace that God gives us does one other thing that we need to really understand before we can move on to looking at some application. It's a verse that many of us have heard many times before, but it's a very powerful verse. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Hold on one second. Excuse me. Thank you. It says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now look here, verse 7. This is one that six and seven, we've seen these before, but listen to what it says. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This peace that God gives is an active peace, okay? We need to understand that. It's not a static peace. It is active. The peace that God gives you and gives me is there to guard your heart and your mind. This is very important that we understand the depth of this. Because you know what we tend to think we need to do? I need to guard my heart and I need to guard my mind. Now listen, I know that we need to do that. But in this particular understanding of peace, we need to understand that as we allow the Holy Spirit to produce peace in our hearts and our lives, this peace that transcends all understanding, meaning this peace that's just so unbelievable we can hardly figure it out because it doesn't matter what our situation is or our circumstances is, it's there, that will also guard our hearts and our minds. Listen. You know where peace typically or a lack of peace typically attacks? Your heart and your mind. Every time. And so God's sitting here going, listen, when you allow my peace to come, it'll like sit a sentry over your heart and over your mind. When those things that want to come in and take away your peace, or take away your steadfastness, or take away the wholeness of where you're at, literally peace wants to stand there and guard it and say, nope, you can't go in. Nope, I won't allow you to affect this individual in this way. That is the type of active peace that God wants to have in your heart and in your life. And I don't know about you, but I don't always live that way. I don't always allow the peace of God to be that guard in my heart and my life. I will sometimes basically allow the situations and the circumstances in my heart and my life to keep me from really experiencing the peace of God. And that uneasiness, that confusion, that chaos that can come basically goes right after my mind and right after my heart. I sit there and I go, well, what about this or what about that? What about this situation? What about that situation? And in those moments, I've said, you know what? God, I can do it on my own. I can figure things out on my own. And instead, allowing that peace, listen, that passes, as other translations say, all understanding to guard. I don't know where you're at. I'm just going to speak for me right now, okay? I need to post my guard again. I need to post my guard. Listen, and I know it's not easy right now. I mean, I don't know about you, and I've been trying to kind of stay out of it a little bit. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but tomorrow, okay, something's going to happen with the eclipse, right? Now, here's what's going to happen as far as I understand. The moon, and I don't understand eclipses, so I think the moon is going to go in front of the sun, right? Okay? And I know there's been people, because you turn on the social media or you turn on the computer and that are saying all sorts of stuff is going to happen when that happens. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. All I know is that supposedly, if I got this right, the moon is going to go in front of the sun. You know, we could turn that, and I think people have, into worry and doubt and fear. And instead of letting the peace of God guard our hearts and our minds. Now listen, I'm not saying any of those people are right. I'm not saying any of those people are wrong. I don't know. But here's what I do know. If we'll allow and stay in the vine, the peace of God tomorrow and today and the next day can guard your heart and guard your mind. Because here's the deal. Here's the bottom line. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know the God who does. That's enough. That's enough, folks. That's enough. And that's the peace of God in our hearts, is allowing Him to guard those things. So there's a peace that God's made through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And because of that, there's a peace that God gives. But before we close this morning, I want to kind of look at some application. I want to kind of look at some things that maybe we can look at in our hearts to really see, are we really bearing the fruit of the Spirit? So what does bearing the fruit of peace really look like in my life? Okay? Now here's the deal. This is not a complete list. This is eight things. I think, eight things. but it's not a complete list. But it is some things that we can look at and see as kind of a litmus test and make sure that these things are a part of what's going on as we allow the fruit of the peace to come in and work in us and through us. The first thing, the peace of God, the fruit of peace, it provides an inner calm and fuels wise decision making. Okay? When we have the peace of God in our lives, when we're bearing that fruit out, our lives need to be able to show some calm. Because the opposite of peace in a lot of ways is chaos. It's confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. And so when we allow the peace of God to come, it not only brings some calmness, but it also fuels some good, wise decision making. Listen, I don't know about you. I don't know how you make decisions. But the worst time for me to make a decision is when everything's going cuckoo in my world. In those moments, I can make some pretty poor decisions. But when the peace of God comes and there's a calmness in my heart and my life, it can really help me to hear God's voice more clearly so that I can make decisions that are wise for me and my future and my family and all the people around me. Look at Colossians 3. In Colossians 3:15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Let it rule in your heart. Not let it be subservient to other things or situations or circumstances, but let it rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. You were called to peace as believers of Jesus, as people who are to produce the fruit of the Spirit. We are literally called to peace. And we want that in our hearts and in our lives. But as we let it rule in our hearts and our lives, we can allow things to change us so that in our situations that may be raging or may be hard, there's still peace in our hearts and our lives. Number two, and listen, two and three really go hand in hand together, but I did break them up. But number two, it makes right all wrongs. It makes right all wrongs. Look at Romans 14, 19. It says this, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification." Now, here's typically what we do when it comes to these making rights wrongs. We will be willing to make right wrong if other people are also willing to make right wrongs. That makes sense? And therefore, then we can have peace. But Scripture commands us, not an optional here thing, to make every effort. Now, here's the deal. You can make every effort, and someone else could say, "I'm not making any of an effort," and yet you can still have peace. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that that's part of sometimes the peace that God gives in our hearts and our lives. But typically, we don't do that. Typically, we'll make it right when someone else is willing to make it right. And peace is something that can come in. And even in those wrongs, when we try to make them right, God will say, "Listen, are you making every effort to make those things right?" But here's the deal. Let's continue on. Like I said, two and three really can go hand in hand. They're very connected. It also provides rest in relationships. Okay? When you have that peace, there is a rest there. There's a peacefulness there. There's an enjoyment there. I don't know about you, but you know, you when sometimes your relationships aren't going so well, and sometimes you know people are butting heads or things like that. It's literally something you can feel in the room. You can kind of feel how things go, and when you're experiencing those things in your heart and in your life. And yet when peace comes in, there is a rest, there's a wholeness, there's just this almost a sense of, I don't know if you've experienced this in relationships, where you just kind of like go, I love that. I don't know if you've ever been around, you know, and maybe it's, you know, we can obviously talk about our own personal relationships, but when you maybe walk into a home of someone that basically you kind of just know, like, yeah, they just were screaming at each other. You know, they are not happy with each other. Or when you walk into a home and there's just a rest and a peace there, I love that. I love that. And God wants to do that in our hearts and our lives. And so when we look at what that peace looks like, there's that rest in our relationships. And listen, we don't have perfect relationships because we are not perfect people. But at the same time, as we grow and produce more and more peace in our hearts, in our lives, we're more willing to understand that we need to make things right that are wrong and then have some of that peace in our relationships. But here's the deal. It's something that literally almost sticks to you when those things aren't there as well. Here's the deal. If you are internally unsettled, it will externally precede every room you walk into. You can feel it when God says, listen, I have something so much better. I can give you that rest. I can give you that peace. I can do those things in your heart and in your life. Number four, it displaces worry. It displaces worry. In Philippians 4, it starts out, don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. Anything. But all the way back in Matthew 6, Jesus brings it up again. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life or what you'll eat or drink or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? I love that question that Jesus is posing here in the Sermon on the Mount that he is posing to you and me today. Are you not more valuable than they? And here's the deal. If you have a hard time answering that question, let me help you. One way to know what something is worth is what someone is willing to pay for it. And God paid for you with his son, the most precious thing in the world. You are more valuable than they. I'm answering that question for you. You say, Aaron, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've said. You don't know what I've experienced. I don't, but I know what God's word says. You are more valuable than the birds. You are more valuable, as the scripture goes on, than the flowers. You can have peace because of that. Can any one of you, by worrying at a single hour to your life. Listen, some of us are living lives of worry when God says, I have something better for you than that. I don't know if you've ever heard this term. I have. Maybe it was where I grew up. Maybe it's very common. I don't know if I hear it that much anymore, but I just have a simple question for you. Are you a worry wart? You ever heard that? A worry wart. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? Because here's the deal. Jesus tells us, don't worry. He doesn't say you can worry about certain things and not other things. And listen, this isn't just, you know, like, how dare you worry? We all do this. I am a complete and total offender of this verse. But you know what? Just because I'm an offender of it doesn't mean that God wants me not to grow in this area. I want to worry less today than I did yesterday. I want to get to the place in my heart and life that God can really change me and basically have me truly understand that I don't have to worry about anything. Anything, folks. And when we allow the peace of God to come in, listen, I've seen this over and over again in my life and the life of others. It's like a total, complete exchange. Let's just say your heart can handle 100 gallons of something, okay? When you are filled with, let's say you have 75% worry and 25% peace. Like, it is a complete exchange, one-for-one exchange. When you get more peace, worry goes down every time. When you allow the peace of God to come and you go, hey, and maybe you're at 75, 25, and you're going to go, you know what, I'm going to get from 74 to 26 today. That is an exchange that God wants to do in your heart and your life. when you allow the peace of God, it displaces it. It removes it from your heart and your life. Number five, and again, kind of goes together here, it relieves stress. You walk around stressed out, worried, anxious. What's going to happen? Where am I going to go? What's going to do this? When you allow the peace of God to come in, it's the same idea as worry. It basically removes it. Look at Psalms 29:11. It says, "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." He gives it. It's a gift that he wants to give you and give me to help us. Number six, it produces clear thinking. Now you say, isn't that the same as wise decision making? No, it's a little different. And I want you to see this because I think this is important. Look at John 16. In John 16, 33, Jesus is speaking here to his disciples and he says, "I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." The peace that Jesus gives is not a peace that basically is take your head, bury it in the sand, and don't care about what's going on around you. Jesus doesn't tell us that. In fact, Jesus tells us somewhat the opposite. He says, "Listen, I've told you all this stuff so that you can have peace in me, even though there's going to be trials and sorrows and hurts and things that take place in your heart and in your life." Peace comes and helps us understand in a deeper understanding, really, the world we live in and the things we go through. So that when those heartaches come, when those trials come, when those sorrows come, we can go to Jesus and say, "No, wait a minute. I can have peace in him. He told me this stuff was coming. He knows about it. I know about it. I can see steadfast in my peace in him because he's already got it." You see, this is important. Sometimes we walk around in life thinking that when something bad happens, that this is a surprise and should be a surprise. Jesus told us from the very beginning, we are going to have some hard seasons of life. Those things do not have to rob us of our peace. Why? Because he's already told us about them coming. So when they come, our thinking and our understanding can be clear because we already know what Jesus has done for us. We can already know the promises that he has given us. So when those things come, and the peace that passes all understanding come, we can have an understanding and clear thinking and go, "You know what, God? This isn't easy. This isn't fun. But I know you're with me. I know that you have plans and your plans for me are good. I am the head. I am not the tail. I am your child and you are with me." And allow the peace of God to reign in our hearts and in our minds. Number seven, it makes us peacemakers. It makes us peacemakers. Look at Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes. As Jesus is sharing, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." You know what I think about when I think about a peacemaker? I think, because you look at, you know, these peacemakers are blessed and, you know, we want to do that and so on and so forth. But then Jesus goes on, he says, they will be called the children of God. Why are peacemakers called the children of God? You know what I think it is? I think peacemakers look like their dad. I love that. You know, you get the baby, you know, and I don't know about you, but like when I look at my son, I do not see me at all. You know what I mean? Like, I see his mother, you know, like his nose and certain things. Like, he has maybe my chin, which you don't know because it's covered with hair, you know, but like, you know, like, trust me, I know what I used to look like without hair on my chin. And you know, so maybe he has my chin, but I think he looks like his mom. When I see Jesus communicating this idea of peacemakers, people that live in peace, people that want to bring peace into unrest and peace into stressful, hard, worrying situations, I see Jesus saying, "You know what? When you're a peacemaker, you look like your dad, your spiritual father." Because what did God do? Remember, God gave peace and God made peace. And so when we're that type of individual, we look like dad, question I have for us and for me is, do we look like our Father in regards to peace? Are we peacemakers? Or are we people that, unfortunately, because of the lack of peace in our own life, we bring chaos and confusion to others? Which one is it? We have to understand that. Number 8, the last one. It eradicates fear. It literally eradicates fear. Look with me, John 14. John 14, 27. Jesus says, I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. Once again, guarding that heart and that mind. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. Listen, these are red letters of Jesus. You've got to get this. When we look for peace in anyone or anything other than Jesus, we will not find it. The peace that God gives can only be found in Jesus. But because of that peace, he tells us, so don't be troubled or afraid. Don't be troubled or afraid. You see, here's the thing. When it comes to worry, or it comes to being anxious, or when it comes to stress or fear or all these types of things, peace, the peace of God and those things are diametrically opposed to each other. They are literally like two magnets that are repelled by each other. And what we want to allow God to do is to bring more peace so the fear, the worry, the stress, all of those things can be driven out of our lives. God desires to do this. God wants to do this. God is saying, because here's the deal, when you understand the context of John 14, basically Jesus is kind of communicating, listen, I'm getting ready to head out of this world. I'm getting ready to lay down my life, and then I'm going to ascend to the Father. Now he says, listen, I'm going to give the Holy Spirit, and that's great, and everything like that. But basically, he is comforting his disciples in this moment. He's basically trying to help them be okay with the fact that, listen, the situation and the circumstance that they've been used to for the last several years is going to change. And he says, listen, even though I'm leaving you, I'm going to leave you with this gift of peace, this peace that only I can give. The world can't give it. Only I can give it. And when you have it in your life, you don't have to be troubled and you don't have to be afraid. It's awesome. It's so amazing. We're going to close, but I want to kind of talk about this just a real brief moment, because it's been kind of rolling around in my heart the last couple weeks, and just feel like it's time to share. And maybe I'll share it again later on. But when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, like, listen, I get this concept of basically like, listen, Aaron, I have heard this before. I sang a song about it when I was in kindergarten. The Sunday school class that I went to when I was 5 had a poster on the wall. I get it. But what I think we really need to understand is the unbelievable gifts that these things are for you and me. Like, I want you to get this. I want us to experience these things. Listen, I care about you. I hope you care about me. And when I care about somebody, I want even when I don't sometimes care about people, I want what God has for them. I want you to experience the peace of God in a level that you have never experienced before. I want you to experience the joy of God, the love of God, all of these things in a level and an understanding that would literally make your head pop off your head, spin around 4 times, and maybe come back on backwards. Do you get that? As much as I want this for you, as much as I want this for me, that your heavenly Father wants this for you. He doesn't want you. Listen, hear me. Some of you really need to get this and hear this. He doesn't want you to walk around with fear. That is not His plan or desire for you. He doesn't want your life to be full of worry or doubt or guilt or shame. He wants your life to be full of His peace, full of His joy, full of His goodness, full of His kindness, full of all of these things. And listen, here's the problem. For some of us, we're willing to accept cheap imitation of what God really wants to do. Or we'll do this. We'll say, you know what, God? I appreciate Your love and Your grace and Your peace and all those gifts and all Your fruit. I really appreciate that. But God, you know what? I am good with just half a glass full. God, You are so good to me that You would fill me up halfway. I am completely fine with that. God, basically, that is good enough. Can you do me a favor? As someone who cares about you deeply, will you please stop telling God you've got enough? You don't have enough. You know why you don't have enough? You know why I don't have enough? Because God wants to give you more and more and more and more. Why does God want to do that? Because He's God and because we get undeserved privilege. I don't understand it either. I don't know why God says, listen, I'm glad you have some peace, but I want to give you even more. I'm glad you're experiencing My love, but you haven't seen anything yet. You want joy? Oh, buddy, you just buckle your seatbelt. This is the God we serve. And yet we just say, that's a good. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be thankful. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. What I want us to understand is there is an amount and a depth that God has for you and for me that is unbelievable. Because here's the deal. I don't know about you, but no matter where you are in your peace level, there is a line. And when that line is crossed, like you're fine with the peace of God, but man, when that line's crossed, it's like a flood of worry and stress and fear. I mean, it's like, you know that God wants to remove the line in your life? You go, Aaron, can God really do that? Yeah, God can really do that. He can remove it all and bring a peace that is so amazing, so life-changing and life-giving, that literally when you walk into a room, people will be able to experience the peace of God because of the peace flowing through your heart and in your life because you have been in the vine and because the Holy Spirit is producing much fruit for you. And here's the deal. Listen, when you talk about some things that the world really needs right now, it's the peace of God. I didn't plan this because, trust me, I didn't know about this eclipse thing until like a week ago. But you know why all this stuff is being going around? It's because people have no peace. People don't have peace of God. So when something happens that's not normal, oh my goodness, it is run around like a chicken with your head cut off time. The sky is literally falling or darkening or whatever. Wouldn't it be amazing? And it starts with us as individuals, that we would be the type of people that would go into our homes or our workplaces or our business or whatever, and there was just such a peace of God that our coworkers or our students or our the waiter or waitress at Jason's Deli today, literally we're like, there is a peace here that I can't figure out. What is it? So how do we respond to all this? Well, I really think that we respond to this together as we close this morning with this prayer. I think it's a prayer that we can pray on a daily basis. It's not long. But our responses, I think, to all these things, to the peace that God has given and brings and all these things, is simply this: Lord, develop peace in me so that I can deliver peace to others and to my circumstances. So would you do me a favor? Let's all close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. We're going to close very quickly here. And because I think in some ways, you know, there's not a ton here to really rehash, because in some ways, when we understand the peace that God made, the peace that God has given, now it becomes these application things that we need the Holy Spirit to help us with. And I think this prayer really sums it up. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. It can be pretty simple. And so this morning, God, what I'm asking for me, what I'm asking for our family, those online, is simply this: Lord, will you develop peace in us? Will you develop peace in us so that we can be bearers of peace to others in our lives and to every situation and every circumstance we come in contact with? Jesus, will you help us to remain in you so that our lives can produce the fruit of peace? Because God, right now there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of worry and doubt and fear. And Jesus, you are literally the Prince of Peace. We talked about it last week. When you came into the room after your resurrection, you said, "Peace be with you." Jesus, because you are the Prince of Peace, because you are peace, it's who you are, it's in your nature, we can also experience the peace that you have for us. The peace that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in abundance in our lives. And God, we remember from the very first week, these aren't the gifts of the Spirit. These are the fruits of the Spirit. We are to produce every single one of these fruits. We're gifts. We don't get every gift. But we are to produce, as we remain in the vine, every single fruit of the Spirit. We can't say, "God, I want to produce love and I want to produce goodness, but I don't want to produce peace." God, you want to produce all of these things in our hearts and our lives. And all of these things really go hand in hand together to affect not only our hearts, but the hearts of those that you've placed in our path. And so, God, even though there are some real situations, God, we don't talk about peace to belittle the hard seasons and sorrows and things that happen in our lives. Once again, you said those things would come. You want us to have peace because in a lot of ways, when we accept your peace, we're acknowledging that you are greater than any situation and any circumstance that we face. And so, God, I just speak peace into those areas. God, I speak peace to replace the fear and replace the worry and replace the stress, the peace that only you can give. It's what we need, and it's what you will produce in our lives as we remain in you. So Jesus, help us to draw closer to you so that these things can be produced in even more abundance in us and through us. We love you. Thank you so much for wanting these things in our hearts and our lives, for desiring to bring them about and then producing them for us through your Holy Spirit. You're so good, and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for being here this morning. For those that are online, we love you. We miss you. We hope that you're doing well. For those that are here after service, of course, we're going to head over to Jason's Deli for lunch together. If you don't have any plans, we would love to have you join us Hope you have a great week. Love you. We'll talk to you soon.